My buddy Dawson said to his mom, "Is church over?" You wish, buddy. But a little bit longer, and then we'll dismiss. So good. It is so good to be together. I look forward to gathering together every Sunday morning, and I love being together in the foyer of the church before Sunday school, before service begins. And then after service when we're dismissed, and then, to see people in the foyer just visiting with one another. There's laughter, and there's tears at times, and just to hear the chatter going on in the foyer. It's so good. It's so encouraging and life-giving to my heart that I really do look forward to it every week. I enjoy visiting with so many of you. Obviously, I don't get to visit with all the people that I want to visit with, but it is good to visit with those that I get to visit with. I love hearing about the week that was and maybe about what is going on the following week, what you're looking forward to, and I love hearing those stories. That's really the kind of culture that we want to create here or continue to nurture here at SEMC. We want to create that culture, we want to celebrate that culture, and continue to nurture that because culture matters. Church culture matters. That's what we're getting at in this series. We began a new series last week that we're calling Nurturing a Culture of Goodness. And for the next 7 weeks, we want to look at seven different expressions of goodness. Last week, Pastor Jason spoke on the culture of empathy. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, we encourage you to go back to our website or to our YouTube channel and to take a listen to that. Culture is important. We live into our culture and we live in our culture. And I guess the other side is true too, that the culture around us begins to live in us as well and into us. And so we want to create a good culture. We want to continue to nurture a good culture here at SEMC. Of course, we know that we're not perfect. No church is perfect because it's made up of imperfect people like you and me. But we continually want to nurture goodness in our culture here at SEMC. Again, last week when Jason spoke about empathy, he said empathy is closely related to compassion. Empathy is close to the heart of God. And he said, if you want to see empathy in action, you can see it most profoundly in Jesus Christ. I want to piggyback on that statement this morning as we dive into another expression of goodness, and that is the expression of grace. And to say this, grace is most profoundly seen in Jesus Christ. In fact, all of the expressions that we are going to be looking at are most profoundly seen in Jesus Christ. As Christ followers, our desire is to imitate Jesus. And so our desire is for these expressions of goodness to be seen in us in increasing measure. Grace, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And you can't earn it either. Grace is a gift. And if you've ever experienced grace, if you have ever given grace to someone else, you know that grace gives life to others. The gift or the culture of grace begins with someone who has something to give. In our sense, maybe in all of humanity, we understand that grace begins with God. God is the giver of grace. God is the giver, and the gift he gives is redemption. Because our Heavenly Father is a God of love, because our Heavenly Father is a good God, because God is the giver of good gifts, John 3:16, a very well-known verse, says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. God so loved that he gave. That's what love does, doesn't it? Love gives. Yeah. What did God give us? He gave us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That all who believe in Jesus Christ would have eternal life. That is redemption. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Isn't that amazing? The gift of redemption, the picture of redemption is one that paints a kind of picture of a person being bought out of slavery to sin and brought into the freedom in Christ Jesus. In our relationship with God, we have forgiveness for our sins. We have been bought out of slavery to sin, and we have been brought to freedom in Christ. The gift of redemption is an act of grace. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earn based upon our status or upon our achievement. And a little bit further on in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this, for it is grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, then, our desire is to nurture a culture of goodness. And when goodness is expressed in grace, grace forms our culture. What happens then is that forgiveness flows freely. It flows freely from God to his people, and then from his people to others. From his people to others, as we ourselves understand that we are recipients of this grace that God has lavished out on us, that we have received this incredible gift of forgiveness, then we pass it on to others. It means that when we're offended, when we've been hurt, when our expectations haven't been met, we choose grace. We choose forgiveness. When we forgive someone, we say, Lord, I am choosing to forgive this person. I'm choosing to forgive this person because of the hurt that they have caused me. I choose to not hold the offense against them. I choose to release that person to you. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would teach me to be gracious to them. And even in the midst of my hurt, that you would teach me to love them more. Grace. Nurturing a culture of grace. Our desire is to nurture a culture of goodness expressed through grace. Not only will we freely forgive, but we will also learn then to develop the habits of giving, because we know that we have been recipients of God's lavish grace poured out upon us. And so as we recognize that in our own lives, we freely give that out to others. And we become grace dispensers. Where we go, in the church, as we go to the grocery store, as we drive on the street, we are grace dispensers as we go. And that becomes the culture that we nurture in our lives, not just in these walls, but maybe especially outside of these walls as well. A culture of grace. It begins with the goodness of God offering redemption, the forgiveness of sins to us. And when we receive this gift, it turns us, Scripture tells us, from enemies and strangers to God to friends and family. See the transformation from being far away from God, from being enemies and strangers to Him. He now welcomes us into His family. He calls us friends. He calls us family. That's an incredible thought right there, that God invites us into His family. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul writes these words, "Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Those are strong words, Paul. He says we were enemies of God. We were opposed to God. We were on opposite sides of God. But then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus," when we accept what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, "you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." You have been brought near. See, that's not your actions and attitudes and behaviors. That's not my attitudes and actions. We have been brought near to Christ near to God because of the blood of Christ. That has grace written all over it, doesn't it? God initiated it, and Jesus made it possible. What that means is that as a result of this redemption, that we are part of God's family, and that means that God is our Father, and the gracious gift of His goodness makes us family. If you have said yes to Jesus Christ, that makes us family. In fact, Paul goes on to say, we are now siblings. I'm your brother in Christ. You're my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We're siblings. That means that we're equally loved and valued members of the body of Christ. In the church, no one is greater than another. Jesus alone is head over us. No one is greater than the other. Every one of us is a sibling. And as siblings, we have equal status with the Lord. So when we nurture a culture of grace in our community here, becoming true siblings of equality, that is how we relate to one another as siblings. And as we relate to one another like that, fear fades in our relationships with each other. The Apostle Paul calls us, the church, his brothers and sisters. You see that over and over again in his letters. You ever thought about why he says brothers and sisters? I pondered that a little bit this week, obviously, and I think it's because that's an image, that's a description that we can all relate to in one way or another. We can understand family, sometimes in good terms and maybe sometimes in bad terms, but family is so central to our human relationships. That's why oftentimes when you're trying to, you've met somebody new, somebody will say to you, "Well, who are your parents?" Or maybe you've said that same thing, "Who are your parents?" Because we want to get that connection. Oh, just for fun, I think next time somebody asks you, "Who are your parents?" you should say, "Well, God's my Father. How about yours?" Ha, let's see what they say. Yeah, or you go, "Jesus is my brother. How about yours?" No, maybe not. All right. But just like in healthy homes, sibling relationships are marked by love for one another, and they're marked by a commitment to help each other grow. In a healthy church family where we nurture goodness, where we nurture and express through grace, our relationships are marked by love for one another and by mutual growth to become more like Christ. Love for one another, that's a defining characteristic in family. Healthy homes are places where one is loved and where one learns to love, where there's a giving and a receiving of love. And in that, there creates this relational bond, a relationship of unity and cooperation together. And so as the Apostle Paul talks about the church and he says brothers and sisters, or he treats us as siblings, he is saying the church is to be a place where you are loved and where you learn to love others as well. There's a giving and a receiving of love here, and there begins to be a relational bond between one another, a relationship of unity and cooperation. And just like in your family, just like with your siblings, we are choosing to love each other in spite of our differences. Okay? That is grace. Being gracious means that we consider the implications of my actions, the implications of my words, for the good of the other siblings in the family. In church, that means that it's not just my area of ministry that is the important one in the church. It's not just how this idea or this decision affects my area of ministry, but as a sibling in the church, how does this affect the other areas? How does this affect my other siblings in the church? How does this affect the whole family, not just me? And that's what it means to live in a healthy family. We're talking about nurturing a culture of goodness by extending grace towards others in the family. Thinking about that, I think when it comes to modeling goodness and extending empathy and grace, I know many of you have examples of that, and we can see examples of that. But I want to call Darcy and Margaret Friesen forward at this time. Darcy and Margaret Friesen are a couple that, to me, have been modeling empathy and grace very well. They're going to come up and share a little bit of their story with us this morning. I'm not sure if you're bringing all of your kids, or just one or two of them, or none of them, or whatever. They're all welcome to come if you'd like. But yeah, why don't you come forward? We're going to just interview them, have a couple questions with them, have a little bit of a dialogue together. So yeah, come and join me up front here. So good. I'm so glad that you guys could be here this morning. Yeah. See? The kids are loving this. Love that. Yeah, if you want to have a seat or if you'd prefer to stand, you can do that as well. I thought there was two more. Anyway, yeah, if you want to stand. Oh, okay, perfect, thanks. Are you able to hold a mic and a baby at the same time? Okay, see, that's multi-talented. Okay, well, are you going to sit or stand? Okay, then I'll stand too. All right, very good. Well, Darcy and Margaret, great to have you here. This is two of how many children do you have?
Six.
Two of six. Okay. Whew. All right. So you have fostered, one of the ways that you have modeled empathy and grace is that you have fostered some children in the last year or so. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about how you came to fostering children.
Well, for me, I've always wanted to foster. Or do something with kids. And so here we are.
Okay. Can you say your children's names?
Yes, we have Alex as our oldest. He just turned eight. And then we have Dawson is five. And Alicia here just turned two. And then we have Lily sitting with Grandma, just turned one. And then we have Hazel sitting with your wife. She just turned 9 months. And then we have her here, Ari. She's 2 months.
Ari is 2 months. Wow. Okay. So it's a full house?
Yes.
All right. So what have been some of your biggest challenges in caring for so many children?
Well, one of the challenges we faced is we've kind of overgrown our home a little bit. I don't know if overgrown it, but it definitely filled up our house quite a bit. That's a challenge. Trying to find some sleep a little bit too, I guess, is also
A
little challenging.
Yeah. Wow. And Margaret, how about for yourself? Okay, expanding space or a shrinking space, if you will?
Well, I think one of my things would be cooking suppers. Kind of get almost tired of coming up with meals to cook that people will all like and eat.
Okay. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. Right.
And then the endless diaper changes.
And the endless diaper changes.
Sometimes it feels like you're like, okay, they're all clean. Okay, something smells.
Okay. How many children? Okay, this is off the... How many children are in diapers?
Well, now it's just the youngest three, but it was four. She is now potty trained, so now we just have the three.
Amen. Just three?
Yeah.
No big deal. Okay, wow, awesome. Okay, in the last year or so, how have you felt like you've been maybe grown or changed, challenged with all of these children?
Well, I think we've learned to trust God a lot more. Hmm. Just understanding a little more what He wants for us, I think, is a big thing.
Well, and realizing, I think, that we can do more with God, that by ourselves we wouldn't be doing this, so it has to be Him working through us, because six kids this age is
crazy.
Not something anybody can just do, so I feel like He's working through us.
Totally.
So we've found that with God's help we can kind of do anything.
Right on. So good. So, okay, if I can read into the situation again, preparing meals, that's like a huge stress, so, you know, it would be great to have some gift cards or something like that. Would be a really cool thing, right? For some meals and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll make note of that. So, hey, you know what? I know that you could share way more, but I would just encourage church family, you know, to catch you in the foyer or whatever, and to, you know, ask other questions too. So thank you for sharing a little glimpse about your home and, yeah, taking the time to be here this morning. So good. Thank you, guys. Very, very good. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen in Darcy and Margaret, too, a family, talking about families, healthy homes where there's love for one another. I've seen that between Darcy and Margaret and their love as parents for one another. And how they communicate with one another. I've seen that in their home. I've seen that in the way that they relate to their children and the way that their children relate to them. And then I see that happening in the siblings, six children in one house. That's awesome. So again, thank you for modeling goodness, nurturing goodness in your home and a home of grace as well. You know, like healthy homes, where sibling relationships are marked by a commitment to help each other grow, in a church family as well, sibling relationships are marked by a commitment to nurture one another in growing to be more Christ-like. In a home, siblings in a healthy home are advocates for one another. They're committed to helping each other grow. And I remember a lesson like this very early on in my life. I grew up as the youngest of five boys. And I remember this one time when I was in grade three. So I would have been 8 years of age. And this guy, this boy was 5 years older than me. So he would have been 13. And we had some kind of a disagreement at the park. And we were about to throw it down. And and just before things were going to get messy, I had one of my brothers walked in, and he was an advocate for me. I like to think that it was lucky for this 13-year-old that my brother stepped in, but in hindsight, it was probably good that he stepped in on my behalf, but he stepped in. He was my advocate. He protected me probably from a lot more than just a bloody nose. But then when we got home later on, boy, did he let me have it. What I appreciated and I respected from my brother was that he looked out for me. He protected, he was my advocate, but then he held me accountable later on when we got home. And he told me some things that I needed to change and do differently. What is the point? I think to nurture a culture of goodness expressed in grace, it means that we will hold each other accountable. Ephesians talks about speaking the truth in love. And I think that's so important that when we speak the truth in love, the two have to go hand in hand. Because truth without love is just harsh. But love without truth is too soft. And so we need truth and love. I think that's what Paul was getting at in his letters too, when he would refer to the church as brothers and sisters, that they would grow up and they would spur each other on to become more like Christ. If you take a look in your scriptures and you look for the one another's in there, you will find oodles and oodles of examples. Does anyone use oodles and oodles anymore? But here's a couple that I found. Okay, be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Forgive one another. Teach and admonish one another. Love one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Be sympathetic to one another. Show hospitality to one another. And on the list goes. I like that list. And I like it. Well, do I like it? It allows people to speak into my life when things go sideways for me. And someone can come along in a loving way and they say, Garth, I know that you desire to nurture a culture of goodness and grace in your life, but the way that you reacted to that situation, the way that you were talking there, does not nurture the kind of person you want to be, which is to be more like Christ. And even though at that time it stings, because it's done in love and truth, I can ponder that and make corrections in my life. You know what? I think that's one of the reasons why we encourage participation in a life group, participation in Sunday school, because the information or the goal there is not to have Bible information download, but it's to allow transformation to take place in our lives so that we become more like Christ. Somebody said it's not about how much you are in the Word, but how much the Word is in you. It's not how much you're in the Word, but how much the Word is in you and living it out. You see, the culture of grace begins with the goodness of God offering redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When we receive that gift, it turns us from enemies into family, into siblings. And then it leads us as family of God, as siblings, to respond with action. And Dallas Willard, in his book, The Great Omission, says this: grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude. Effort is action. Get that? Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. We don't earn our salvation. That is a gift. But we work it out in our effort. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Why do we love? Who do we love? We love God, and then we love others. And that is the proper response to those who understand how much God has poured out, lavishly poured out on us. We respond to God's grace, first of all, with thankfulness. We respond to God's grace and His goodness to us with gratitude, with praise and worship. We trust and we obey His commands. And then we respond with active demonstrations of love and service towards others. As I read through the Apostle Paul's letters, I see that he was determined not just to have people be saved, but then to have saved people learn how to get along with one another. Nurturing a culture of goodness expressed in grace is not always easy. But when we can begin to see each other as siblings who have received God's grace, God's gift of redemption, and allow ourselves to be transformed by His love and by His grace, and He has transformed us into equal participants who love one another, the grace-based culture of freedom will be formed. Nurturing a culture of goodness, expressed in grace, means that we give room to one another. Maybe we give room to ourselves as well, to learn, to make mistakes, to grow, and to forgive. Because when forgiveness flows, freedom grows, and fear fades away. 1 John 4:18, because perfect love drives out fear.